The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with FBD Insurance. Protecting Irish people for 50 years. Visit fbd.ie today. The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with FBD Insurance. Car cover that's right for you. See what you can save on fbd.ie.
Welcome back to the programme. Now, caller was on to say, yes, I too want to join the chorus in praise of Stephen Fry. Fab interview. Also, what an insightful observation he made about the current pandemic of outrage in society. And somebody who's not quite such a fan says, referring back to Stephen Fry and outrage, maybe there wouldn't be as much outrage if the clever, wealthy people hadn't blown up the economy they're supposedly expert at. In my opinion, Stephen Fry could only count as an intellectual in a culture that has already been dumbed down by mindless capitalist media. Now, that's telling you. I will do the last of the lyrics competition. I presume that could go under the category of mindless. No, it couldn't. Anyway, and if a double-decker bus crashes into us to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die. That's the last of them, so you can get texting. Now I've been joined by Katie Hannon. Good morning, afternoon to you, Katie. What's the gale today?
Well, today, the Dáil was obviously off this week for the midterm break, but it was a very busy week in the news front. We had that Gard the Breath test report. We had the RTÉ Investigates programme on those horror stories from the rental sector. And of course, we had that plan by our three ministers to go to North Korea. So we'll be discussing all of that and more with our panel, but we will be focusing on that Nightmare to Let programme and what that exposed. A lot of shock and horror and a kind of surprising levels of surprise, I suppose, given what we know about the rental sector this week. A lot of talk about we need more inspections, we need greater penalties for landlords. But the one that this idea of this NCT style system for rental properties. But there's been very little focus on the more fundamental issue, really, I suppose, is where are those people who are
going to go?
Where are they going to go? What options do people on very low incomes and precarious work situations, on precarious visa situations, perhaps, where do they turn in a rental market where even people with
good
incomes, good jobs, references from landlords can't get a roof over their heads?
Okay, you'll be on the air as one.
Indeed, we will.
Okay, look forward to that, and thank you very much, Katie. We'll take a break. Welcome back to the programme. Now, we were talking earlier on about rising utility costs and all of that. Well, there'll be more than just the heating and the fire and all that, because you'll be watching the TV more. And we thought it might be nice at this time of the year. You know, the light is gone by 3:30, 4 nearly. So we've been joined in studio by Donald Clark, who's the chief film correspondent of the Irish Times, and Ryan Lloyd, movies editor with entertainment.ie, to go to tempt us, I suppose, with what might be available for us if we wanted to turn into couch potatoes. Now, we also had to say in the middle of this that not everybody gets Netflix and not everybody gets Sky. And not everybody, because our listeners sometimes get very cross. So we're going across the range, but it will include Netflix and it will include Sky and so on and so forth. Where do you want to start, Donald?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff, and it's funny. It used to be kind of in the olden days, this is when television really started. There's a notion you'd kind of rubbish all throughout the summer and they had endless repeats. That's no longer the case because it's a 52-week season. But let me bump through a bunch of things that are coming down our way. I suppose we should mention The Crown, which is going into its second series, which is absurd kind of program many ways. I mean, absolutely lavish, extremely well researched, very well acted, but mad at the same time. And you have decided that the Queen has far more responsibility for the running of the United Kingdom in the years after the war than she actually did. It's also kind of, I find myself just sort of rocking back in my seat whenever I see it, because it's almost as if Netflix have gone super bling. They've said, the BBC can't afford this. Boy, can we afford this. We're going to fling. It's crazy. I mean, you'll have this sort of scene whenever her father died, when you have you know, we have to show every elephant in Kenya. We have to show kind of like thousands of extras cheering her on. Then we're going to show them all again when she goes back, you know, that because we can do it. We're in Netflix. We're on Super Bling Station. Anyway, it's back for series two.
When?
It's this month, isn't it? I think it was December.
Yeah.
Last series of Claire Foy before she turns into Olivia Colman like Doctor Who.
No, the last time I just didn't get sleep. You know that way where you say, well, just I'll watch one more.
It has that binge quality to it.
With anything, really.
Yeah, very true. And Netflix kind of seemed to have that kind of whole binge watching market cornered, really. I mean, they just kind of fall, one episode falls into the next.
That's right. Peaky Blinders, I remember, was another one of them. So that's for those who like that kind of thing. Howard's End is on the BBC.
Yeah, interesting. Howard's End, which is, I think people now accept as possibly E.M. Forster's best novel, and has been under-adapted, if that's a word that I've mentioned. It obviously was the famous Merchant Ivory version from the early 1990s, for which Emma Thompson won Best Screenplay at the Oscars, if I remember correctly. Or did she win... she won Best Screenplay for Sense and Sensibility. She won Best Actress for that. And hasn't been much adapted since then. It's an interesting cast for this, but Hayley Atwell is to the fore. But what really interests me is they've got Kenneth Lonergan to adapt it, who himself recently won an Oscar for Manchester by the Sea, American screenwriter and director. And it's a very interesting kind of take on that, because it's a very English story. I mean, it is more than any other Forster story about the intricacies of the class system, which is something to be interesting to see an American attack. Also, that is on broadcast on BBC. If you're somewhere where you can get BBC anyway, you'll be able to see that on ordinary conventional television. Also interesting to see League of Gentlemen back. Really kind of influential comedy series from the early part of this century, late 90s, early part of this century. And interesting, those guys, after the first few series, they all went off and they all became successful elsewhere, particularly Mark Gatiss, who's everywhere, who's in Sherlock and here. And they've come back for three specials, so I'll be excited by that. And that's in December, I presume, closing in on Christmas.
Right. Brian?
Yeah, well, the Netflix, just to go back to Netflix, another one we have is Alias Grace, which is based on Margaret Atwood's story of a young Irish immigrant. And it's interesting, I mean, it's directed by Mary Harron, who people will know directed American Psycho, and it's written by Sarah Polley, who herself directed this documentary a couple of years ago called Stories We Tell.
Yes, about her own life.
And it was fantastic. And it's very much along the vein of Crown and Howard's End, this kind of really glossy period drama.
Which people adore. Well, some people
don't, they are.
But most people really do.
Yeah, no, they are. Like these kind of glossy period dramas in the last like 5 to 10 years.
Like Down to Nabby.
Precisely, yeah.
Well, it's a grimmer story than that. But I mean, it's also good to see a Margaret Atwood's kind of arrive in the public consciousness. Obviously with The Handmaid's Tale and this as well.
Yeah. And it's currently available on Netflix now. Whether it's going to be turned into, or sorry, where it'll be available on terrestrial TV or DVDs, I doubt it.
Right. You were going to mention Mr. Mercedes as well, which actually I've been watching.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. Yeah, and Stephen King just seems to be kind of, I don't know, having a bumper year between this and It and The Dark Tower and all these other things. But it's Brendan Gleeson plays this kind of humdrum, growly detective with an Irish accent. Oddly enough, but whatever. And he's tracking a serial killer who basically mowed down people with a Mercedes Benz.
Yeah.
And it's currently available, it's currently screening on RT1, and it's available on RT Player as well. And it's really, really good.
Note here that says not all available on RT Player.
Yeah, I think it's on a sort of a piecemeal basis. The first episode and then the second episode or something like that.
Because there are quite a few here that you were talking about the fact that, you know, if you take Room, if you take movies, that's coming up somewhere as well. Room, isn't it?
Oh, The Disaster Artist, you mean?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes.
Yes, get confused here. This is a film about the making of allegedly the worst film in the world. No, that is not Lenny Abrahamson's Room. Which is to say quickly, in case anybody has misunderstood here.
Tommy Wiseau.
Thank you. Tommy Wiseau's The Room, which is a famously bad film, a lot of famously bad films came an enormous cult. People sit around and quote the lines and scream the lines at it, and all these sort of things. The way people used to do to Plan 9 from Outer Space, another famously terrible films. And it's interesting, James Franco has had an interesting career as a director. He's he thinks himself to be a polymath.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a university lecturer, he's written plays, he's put on art exhibits, he's made short films. Every kind of 2 months he used to make a William Faulkner adaptation. And then he did The Sign of the Fury, and he did, another William Faulkner adaptation. Anyway, his films as director have not got great reviews. There's been a sense that he's been stretching himself far too thinly, spreading himself far too thinly. This has got terrific reviews.
Yeah, really strong reviews.
By all accounts, it's extremely funny. Also quite touching about the way Wiseau's career went, that he kind of thought he was being this great auteur and ended up becoming a joke. So when is that opening,
that's
Brian?
That's out in December, at the end of December.
But that's got great reviews. Apparently it's an absolute hoot.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that very much.
Yeah, I was watching promos the other day. I can't remember the context. And they were about what's coming up on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
And I presume they're done in bunches. But absolutely every one of them, with people killing people, people driving into people, people blowing people up.
No, Marion, go back and look at the Greeks. They were kind of, go back and listen. It's going on for millennia, not just century.
Yeah.
Go back and watch Titus Andronicus, you know, sort of have a plough through Macbeth. This is not some new phenomenon that we've all settled upon, that we like to watch people hammering the crap out of one another. This has been going on since the Greeks and the Romans.
Point taken.
It's a natural
point instinct. Taken. There was a lot of it, though.
To be fair, I mean, Sky Atlantic do kind of seem to have this market cornered on that kind of real genre peak television, you know, like True Detective and all these kind of things. So, yeah, I mean, you're right, it is, I suppose.
Well, if we're on that, we should mention in terms of things you should watch. I know you Brian.
Yes.
We should talk about Mindhunter.
Oh, yes!
Which is really interesting. I mean, very interesting series in a bunch of ways. This is a series about, it's executive produced by David Fincher, also Charlize Theron is also involved in the production of it as well, written by Joe Penhall, very distinguished English playwright. It's about the guys in the FBI who, in the 1970s, suddenly realised something sinister was happening in crime in that era, that up until that point we'd expected people who murdered people to have understandable motives.
Yeah.
And this was the point at which we realised there was something called a serial killer. And so it sends two FBI agents off to investigate the nature of the serial killer and to learn from those ones that are in prison and learn from the victims how these things progress. It's fascinating in a bunch of ways, not least because you see how the language develops. For the first part of it, they come up with this great phrase, they call them sequence killers, and they sort of, we call them sequence killers, they say, and you just know that something this language is going to change. It's also fascinating because you're talking about violence on television, that there's almost a pointer in the very first sequence where, this is giving nothing away, it's literally before the first title sequence, where the lead character is doing a hostage negotiation and the guy with the gun eventually blows his brains out in a kind of Michael Haneke way, in the sense it's way, way, way upstage, so you can sort of barely see it.
Yeah.
And you think this is going to be horrible. It's actually not horrible, but it's all about people telling you terrible things. There's actually very little violence.
Yeah, it is.
You both sound incredibly enthused by it.
Very much so, yeah. I mean, it's very... Donald's right. I mean, it's not a violent show. I mean, it's not gory in any kind of way. It's not graphic in any sense. But what makes it all the more disturbing, I found, is that you have these great actors playing these serial killers, and they recount, I mean, some of the stuff that they say is, it'll keep you awake for days, but they do it in such a kind of blasé,
matter of fact
kind of way that makes it all the more chilling.
Right.
And the performances by all the actors, especially Holt McAlhany, I think is his name, who plays Bill Tench, he's an Irish-American actor, he's fantastic in it.
Right.
So yeah, very good.
If I were living in many of the pockets where you cannot get internet, what's happened to the DVD?
Well, basically, the bottom has fallen out of the market. Since Extravision closed in January of 2016, it's had a massive knock-on effect in terms of DVD sales. I believe RTE, now you can correct me on this now, but I understand is that RTE are mulling over ceasing production of DVDs, primarily because Extravision has now gone the way of the ghost. It's very true. I mean, DVD sales have just really fallen out, and even Blu-rays or any of the kind of the upgrades what you have
amazing how with this move in technology how things come and go so
decisively.
You feel that you've reached an end state now, and this happened with music, was this notion that when will we reach the end of the end, we replace
tape recorders with
DVDs. Yeah. And you reach a stage now where basically you do not have a physical object. And that is the end state. Yeah. And that's the problem that DVD market faces.
Even people look at you oddly if you just want to radio now. Why can't you do it on your phone? I prefer to do it on the radio. Listen, we're not going to get through all your list, obviously. But thank you very, very much. And we will put them on the website. And it's rte.ie/Marion. Now, the name of the person that's going to get the Morrissey tickets, Cat Campion, excuse me, in County Clare. Congratulations, Cat. Swadehead, this charming man, there is a light that never goes out. That's all we've time for today. Today's producer was Rachel Graham. Research is Michelle Brown. Broadcasting coordinator, Jarlath Holland on sound, Sheila Nivuil. And the series producer is Margaret Carley. Talk to you tomorrow. Until then, a very good day to you.
The Marion Finucane Show on RTE Radio 1 with FBD Insurance. Home cover you can trust. See what you can save on fbd.ie.